Good morning. Lovely to be here to worship this morning. Autumn is arriving, a lovely bright autumnal morning. So whether you join us here in person or indeed online, we bid you a really warm welcome as you come to worship today. I want to open our service with a first scripture from Ephesians. You find it in chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We each come with the same perspective today. Come before the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we also come expectant, with hearts and minds that are open, ready to receive from him today. Let's pray together as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us. That we're not worshipping a God who is dead today, that a God who once lived and now is no more. But we're worshipping the one who rose and is alive and is at work in his world today. Help us with open hearts and open minds to come before you, ready to receive, to be challenged, encouraged, ready for what lies before. So by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, may you do your work amongst us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite Rebecca to come and read us God's word today.
The reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did not say, you must not eat fruit from the trees in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will surely not die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate it.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust for all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return from the ground, since it was from you were taken. For the dust you are, and to dust you will return.' Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live for ever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rebecca. So we continue third week in this series of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." It's a journey through creation, through covenant, through redemption, those big themes of the scriptures. And it takes us all the way up to harvest as we conclude it on Harvest Sunday. And we looked at that phrase, in the beginning, the opening words of the scriptures. In the beginning, we saw God's sovereign power over all of creation. We saw the rhythm of creation, evening and morning, the first day, evening and morning, the second day, how God created a rhythm and how he intentionally created rest at the end of that rhythm. Not out of tiredness, but he knew that we needed rest. And that from rest, we're able to do absolutely everything else. We need to trust in God's sovereignty for our everyday moments. And we looked at being made in his image. That there was a purpose in creation, in humanity. That we are God's image bearers. We are representatives of him in creation. That he has given us dominion over everything else. The animals of the ones that walk the land, the sea, creatures of the sea, the birds of the air. But yet he created us and he gave us dominion over everything else. Because we are his image bearers. We are created, let us make man in our image, God said. We carry the image of the Creator within us. And this week, we look at the fall. We look at the moment where sin enters the world. We spent a couple of weeks thinking about the perfectness of creation. But yet now it is marred. So let's just pray before we dig into this. Father, we thank you that you are already present. And as we look at this moment of sin entering the world and in the fall, Lord, we pray that your Spirit upon us would not only convict us, but encourage us in what you have to say to us today. May it be your words and not mine, we pray. Amen. So sin disrupts God's perfect creation. Whenever God had created everything, what did he say? He looked, he saw, and it was good. It was good. But yet there comes in a moment of separation, of division. There comes a moment where Adam and Eve, having walked in the cool of the evening with the Lord, are now banished from the Garden of Eden. As I read that passage over and over again over many years, I always think, I wonder what it would have been like in the Garden of Eden. What would it have been like to have walked in the cool of the evening with the Lord? What would it have been like to walk in that moment and hear the Lord's voice? What would it have been like without sin in the world? Sin disrupts God's perfect creation. You see, in Genesis 2 and verse 23, it talks about how God, in a relationship with the man and the woman, is now found in a perfect and beautiful place with God. But in the passage that Rebecca read to us today, we then see that sin now mars that, and that relationship begins to be broken, that shame enters the world. Up until this point, there has been no discussion or comment about shame or embarrassment. But now, the man and the woman realize that they are naked, and so therefore they hide from God and they put fig leaves on themselves. Because sin has now entered the world, and what sin does within us, remember that sin is anything that we think, say, or do that displeases God. Sin is that moment that brings shame and blame and broken relationships. It's often in our sinfulness that our relationships are broken. It's in our sinfulness that the anger wells up. It's in our sinfulness that our pride takes precedence. It's in our sinfulness that our jealousy takes over. It's in our sinfulness that relationships are broken. That's what happened in the first instance, and it continues to happen today. Yet God's faithfulness shines through, and we'll see that even in this passage today. That his judgment is tempered with mercy and with a promise of redemption. Verse 14 says, "So the Lord God said to the snake, 'Because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and the wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly, you'll eat the dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.'" Judgment is tempered with mercy and a promise of redemption. Even back in that moment of the fall, God is saying, "I have a plan to redeem mankind out of this." And this is all starts, the fall begins with that deception and disobedience. It comes to that point where the snake, where the devil, where Satan whispers in the ear of Eve and says, "Did God really say that? Are you sure that's really what he said? He doesn't want to do you. He doesn't want you to do that because he knows if you do that, you'd be just like him and you could do everything just like he does then." Maybe take a wee taste of it. It should be good because you'd be a lot better then whenever you do that. That sin and that deception enters the world. The half-truth, the almost right moment. Satan didn't come up to Eve and go, "Here, God told you not to eat absolutely everything." He made a question in her. He created a moment of doubt. The half-truth, the almost moment. I'm sure in one sense we've all been there. "No, I'm sorry, officer. I was only doing 31 miles an hour. I wasn't doing 40, I don't think. No, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, miss. I was only glancing to make sure that they knew what page they were supposed to be on. I wasn't looking at their answers, honestly." There can be little moments in all of our lives where there's enough of the truth to make it sound plausible, but yet it's not quite there. People use it all the time. But this one has brought eternal consequences. Consequences of pain, of toil, of conflict, of spiritual distance from God. After this moment, Eve is told that she will bear children in pain. That Adam is told that he will now have to toil the land for the rest of his days for the food that he needs. They're told that they're banished from the garden and separation begins from God. But there is redemption in the Savior. He steps into the brokenness of our worlds and he says, "I am here." There's an old story that goes around of a clergyman who, visiting a particular house one day, knocked the door, stood back, no answer, knocked it again and saw the curtain twitch. Knocked the door again, still no one came. So put a calling card through the door, and before he did, he wrote in the back of it simply Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he left. Comes Sunday morning and the lady comes into church, says nothing, and as she leaves, she slips a card into his hand and says, "Thank you for calling." And as he took it and looked at it, it said in the back of it, Genesis 3:10, "For I was naked and I hid." Now, there's something in that, because actually in the midst of all of that, there is that moment of shame that now has entered the world. And there's a moment in each of us where we know what is right and what is not right. And often we sideline the things that we know are right because we don't want to do them. And often we try to hide the things that we do wrong because we don't want other people to know that we're doing them. Preacher included. And in this moment, God's word tells us that that brings division and separation from him. But as we open the service today, we read from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not by works of your own, lest you shall boast." Because it's not what we can do, it's all about what he has done. And the consequences of broken relationships with God, with each other, and with creation are huge. They are massive. See, in Genesis 3 and verse 7, whenever Adam and Eve realize what they've done, and I know that I haven't done what most preachers will have done many times and said that it was Eve who was deceived and not Adam, and so all the blame should sit. But here's the thing. God gave Adam and Eve dominion over all of creation. He gave Adam also a responsibility for his wife. Where was Adam? Whenever Satan was whispering doubt into Eve's ear. Both Adam and Eve have a part to play in the fall of humanity and of the world. And whenever they realize what has happened, whenever they hear, even before they hear the Lord's voice, it says in verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So even before they hear the voice of the Lord, they realize their shame and their guilt. And then the Lord comes in the cool of the evening and begins to talk to them. And so they sew fig leaves together to hide their modesty, to make themselves modest before God. But here's what I also want us to hear today. Adam and Eve tried to find a solution to their shame and their guilt. But in a God of grace and a God of love and a God of forgiveness, don't miss what it says in verse 21 of chapter 3. That after God had had that conversation with him, after God had found him, and after Adam and Eve had had the conversation about what had happened and what had done, and after God had spoken to the serpent and said, "Look, this is, I am going to be victorious. I am going to send a Savior to redeem the world." Here's what God does for them. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. In God's grace and in God's mercy, he does even more than we can do for ourselves. Even in that moment of rebellion, God steps in and God says, "I am here for you." That's the grace of God. He does not leave us hanging. He does not leave us devoid of answers. He doesn't dwell on our disobedience. Yes, our disobedience has consequences. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God. Romans 6 and 23, but the gift of God is eternal life. But the promise of a Savior is already in this moment of failure in the garden, because he's going to put enmity between the devil and everybody else. And that's where we find grace and mercy today. We've just sung about it, "Faithful One." We've just sung about it, "I Believe." We've just sung about it, "Spirit of the Living God." We've just sung about it, "Blessed be your name, even in the dark days, you're there." And we will sing about it in a moment whenever we stand up for Jesus. Because we are not coming devoid of a relationship with God today, because the cross of a Savior has made us right before Him. He has paid the price, the penalty of all of our sin, of all of our rebellion. He stands in our place. We receive Him. That's our part that we play. We receive the love, the grace, the mercy of a Savior in order that we can be right before God, that the rebellion and the sin in our lives can be washed clean, and we can stand proud and true before a living God. And so if you take nothing else from today, hear this. Our greatest need is for a Savior. Our greatest action is trusting God's faithfulness. Our greatest choice is accepting God's offer to redeem us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are here, present and willing to redeem. That you have already carried out the actions that do that for us. And so we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the cross of Jesus Christ today. Guide us, help us, inspire us, challenge us, rebuke us to the point where we are standing before your throne, ready to receive afresh and anew from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's hear some words from Ephesians chapter 3 as we close our service today. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, and would even dare to imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.